Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're going through portions of Genesis, some of the more familiar verses. And today we're going to be looking at two cities, the tragic tale of two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, that are here in the Word of God. So Genesis 19, if you'll turn there. And I hope you got a study sheet, a study guide. And anybody need one? Raise your hand. Anybody have not get one? I think they pretty well back. They can share. Okay, we ran out. That's a good problem. We try to anticipate a good number. So anyway, while you're finding your place there, let me just go over these funerals again. Pastor asked me to be sure that these things were clear. And so Linda Zielinski's memorial service is going to be tomorrow, and that'll be at Skyview Funeral Home in Mansfield. It's actually on the right, 1187, as you're going toward Mansfield. Visitation will be at 10, and then the funeral service will be at 11 o'clock. That's tomorrow. And then Dr. Barber's funeral service is in two different parts. We'll celebrate Dr. Barber's life and his legacy on Tuesday night, and that'll be at 6:30, And I know it's going to be a joyful, lighthearted evening of praise to God for the way he's used Dr. Barber and Dr. Barber's life. A lot of his friends are going to be here, and you'll enjoy hearing their testimonies and hearing the things that will be said that evening. The family will receive friends at 5 o'clock. And then his memorial service, that'll be on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock here at the church. The family will receive friends at 9 o'clock. So that'll give you a little time up front. Then he asked me to announce this. If you're able-bodied, please park as far away from the auditorium as possible for both events. We'll have parking teams ready to help you out. And then he's asking many of us to sit in an overflow seating in the gymnasium. If you're especially close with Dr. Barber and you'd like to sit in the auditorium, he's not going to deny that privilege, but he would encourage you to arrive early to get your place, and then expecting more than capacity crowds for that. And then Gloria King's memorial service will be Friday here at the church, and that will be at 10 o'clock. Her visitation will be on Thursday, 4 to 7 o'clock, and that will be at Emerald Hills Funeral Home. Of course, most of you would know Gloria and Don, great missionaries for many, many years, and I hope you can attend that service. So keep these families in prayer, if you will. Good to see Ms. Barber here in the service, and she knows that we are holding her up in prayer. Amen. And we need to continue to do that. All right, let's get into our lesson, the tragic tale of two cities. We have the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that's recorded in chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. We realize that Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan Valley, a beautiful area during that time. Sodom and Gomorrah were two of five cities called the cities of the plains. It was beautiful, fertile area during those days, located at the southern end of the Dead Sea. It is now covered in water, but in Lot's day, 2000 BC, it was fertile and it was well populated. So you can get the picture of what Lot was seeing in the choice that he made and the different choices that came with that. So, A, in your outline, we have the arrival of the angels. The arrival of the angels. And that's verses 1 through 11. The arrival of the angels. Quite an interesting, sobering story as we look at it. The arrival of the angels. Lot had settled down in Sodom. Look at verse 1, chapter 19, Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Notice where he was. He sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Lot had obviously settled down in Sodom. This was a prominent position. This is a place where prominent people met. Judges would meet there, and they would work out some of the problems and disputes that came up in the cities. And so he was there. They did the city business at the gate. Leaders would meet there. He was part of the who's who. He had compromised to the point that he was somebody in those wicked, wicked cities. He had integrated himself into the culture. I'd like to say that too many of our Christians are doing that today. Integrating ourselves into the culture, and we should not do that. So God sent two angels to visit him. Now, I'm just going to mention this. When you read about angels in the Bible, they are masculine. They're men, okay? That's free. That doesn't cost you anything. But I just want to mention that the angels, you know, one guy said his wife was an angel, said she was always up in the air harping about something. But it could be the man, right? Could be the man easily. But anyway, these angels were there and they showed up. God had sent them. And it shows us that God does care for backsliders. If he hadn't, he wouldn't have sent the angels, right? We should never give up on backsliders. We should pray for them. We should love them. We should do our best to get them back right with God, back in fellowship with God. And that's the attitude we ought to have. It shouldn't be that we want to kick them while they're down and destroy them, but to pray for them, lift them up, help them. It doesn't mean you're agreeing with the sin or whatever they did, but you know if they, and by the way, most of us, if that wasn't true in our lives, we'd be in a mess today too, wouldn't we? God, we had to repent and turn to God, and God forgave us. But there are believers sometimes that get out of touch with spiritual things, and so God cares for his own, and he sent these angels there with a message for him. So we have the arrival of the angels, and then B, the invitation of Lot and the response of the angels. Verses 2 and 3, Genesis 19. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house." Shows you again that he was pretty settled there. "And tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." They said, "No, we're going to stay out in the street." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Interesting that these angels actually participated in that meal. And so Lot invited them and responded to these angels in this way, and they went into his house after persuasion. It was different whenever Abraham had them come there. There was a totally different situation. In chapter 18, the angels were welcomed in a complete different way. And you can read that again and review what we already went through about that. But Abraham was there greeting angels. We'll go back to chapter 18 just a second. Look at verse 1. "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." That's Abraham. And where was Lot? He was at his house. He was there at the gate, so on and so forth, showing the permanency of it. But here, Abraham is sitting in the tent door. That doesn't show permanency. That shows moving on. And so Abraham was greeting angels, and it tells us that these heavenly visitors found it difficult to have fellowship in the household of a backslidden believer, which was Lot. It was a totally different picture. And if you're out of God's will, God's blessings are just not going to come on your life. They're just not going to be there. We have to be in the will of God. The Bible says Abraham was what? A friend of God, right? He was a friend of God. Lot, it states that he was a friend of the world. And it shows you a comparison of spiritual Christians and Christians that are worldly. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That's strong, isn't it? The friendship of the world. Are you real good friends with the world? We're not to fail to witness to them and all of that, but he's talking about taking up their ways, being part of it. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We don't want to be an enemy of God. Hopefully not. Not if you're in your right mind, you don't want to be an enemy of God. But if we are friends with the world, if we take on their ways, their habits, and their violations of God's, what God has written in his word, the laws he's laid down, the commandments he's told us, even as Christians, then he says, we're an enemy of God. Turn to 1 John, if you don't mind. Let's go back there just a second. Go back to Revelation and back up a little bit. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 reminds us of the same principle. And he's saying in 1 John chapter 2, let me get it here. I turned one page too far. 1 John 2, and look at verse 15. Love not the world. Do we love the world? He says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's just a plain as can be that God tells us. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the desire to do, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, that's the desire to have. Oh, how we want those things. And the pride of life, that's the desire to be somebody, the desire to be. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those three categories, you can trace anything that is wrong in our lives in those three categories. To do, to have, to be. And so these are things that he's talking about, and that is enlarged upon, of course, in the Word of God. Abraham was at his tent, at a tent, and that indicates pilgrimage. That indicates that he's a stranger in this world and he's only passing through. But Lot is like a lot of Christians who have backslidden, gotten out of God's will. Lot was settled down. He was at the gate. He was respected. People liked him. He liked what he was experiencing. Settled in Sodom. And his focus was not on heaven, but his focus was on the world. See that contrast? A tent and then his house. Warren Wiersbe shows the progression this way. He said, Lot looked toward Sodom and began to walk by sight. Chapter 13, verses 10 through 11. And that's what he did. He saw the well-watered plains of that area. And then secondly, he moved his tent toward Sodom. Chapter 13 and verse 12. He looked and he was enticed, tempted, fell for the temptation. Then he moved his tent towards Sodom. And then finally, what happened? He moved into Sodom. He moved into Sodom. Enemies took Lot and his goods. We know from chapter 14, verse 12, which tells us he had goods. He had settled down. And when they came in, they took Lot and his goods. Worldliness is not a matter of physical geography. Worldliness is not a matter of where you are. It's a matter of your heart. We know that because there are other places in the Bible that would certainly teach us that that's the case. Joseph went into Egypt. Egypt wasn't a holy land and a good place. Joseph went into Egypt, but he fared pretty well, didn't he? You know why? His heart was right. The culture was wrong, but his heart was right. We know Daniel was living in a culture that was not conducive to Jews or Judaism. Daniel was in Babylon, a wicked place. But Daniel did real well, didn't he? and the three Hebrew children. So it's not a matter of geography, and that is no excuse. It's not a matter of how bad our society is. Lot's problem was his heart. Abraham had the right attitude, the right heart, and Lot did not, like so many people who do not know the Lord, or so many who are backslidden. So Wiersbe said again, and I quote this, thought it was a good quote, Lot's heart was in Sodom long before his body arrived there. He saw it, he wanted to go, and he just pursued it and kept going. And that's the way it is with temptation. We think about it, we see it, and if you're not careful, you follow that, and the next thing you know, you have fallen into some temptation that God has forbidden. And he said, do not do that. All right? See in your outline, the men of Sodom demand to know the identity of the heavenly visitors. These men that are there are homosexuals. There's no question about it. And that's verses 4 through 11. What happened in verses 4 through 7, Lot refused to allow his visitors, these angels, to be molested by the sinful men of Sodom. Get the picture of how bad this really was and how bad Sodom and Gomorrah were. Look at verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, young boys, young men, old men, all around, all the people from every quarter, all around town. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us. Why? That's the language. That we may know them. They said, we want to have a sexual act with them. That's exactly what it's saying in that verse. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was wicked. And he's telling them, don't do this wicked act. That's a terrible thing. And so he was trying to protect those angels. When the men pressed upon Lot, believe it or not, he offered him his two unmarried daughters. That's how backslidden he was. He offered those two unmarried daughters. Look at verse 8. Behold now, he said, I have two daughters, two virgins, two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. He's talking about sexual participation. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And I have a responsibility to take care of them, is what he's saying. Just look how far Lot had gotten away from God. He is so paganistic and so much in his culture that he was offering his virgin daughters to these homosexuals to do whatever they wanted to do with them. Jude 1:19, in the context of some of the sinful acts like this, in the book of Jude, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And folks, that's who that crowd is. I do not make apologies for saying that. It's right here in the Word of God. And we cannot get absorbed. We are so prone to get absorbed into our culture and to not look at it like God looks at it. That does not mean you are homophobic. It means God will save them like it would an adulterer, but it means it's just as wrong as adultery. It's wrong. It's God says it is totally unnatural, and it is wrong. But we don't hate the homosexual. We hate the sin. But we want to tell them about Jesus, and here's the thing. If they get saved, get born again, they'll stop that lifestyle because God said don't do it because that's the Word of God. And so the angels rescue Lot from the men of Sodom. Look at verse 9, Genesis 19. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man. even Lot, and came near to break the door. Man, they were determined, weren't they? I mean, they were depraved and paganistic and determined to go in and get those angels. But the men put forth their hand, I like that verse 10, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. They shut the door on that particular occasion. And then they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Even though they were blinded, they kept trying to get in. They were so depraved and so pulled by evil. And so here God, again, I think is showing us he was being merciful to a backslidden Lot. Then Roman number 2 in your outline. The announcement of the destruction of Sodom and the deliverance of Lot. Verses 12 through 13 record that. We see A in your outline, and the first blank, God's mercy. God's mercy is seen in the divine warning given to Lot. I'm glad for God's mercy today. How about you? I thank God for his mercy. And so look at verse 12, chapter 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons? These angels are saying, let's get them. And thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So if he had sons-in-laws, he had other daughters that were married and two that were not. For we destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. God was so fed up with it that God was going to destroy it, and they were trying to get them out of Sodom, out of that territory, get them out of there. God had spared them for a long, long time, hadn't he? In fact, he said, if I can find just 10 righteous people, I'll still spare it. He couldn't even find 10 righteous people. There just wasn't that many there. It wound up being basically Lot and his two daughters. But this was a situation. He was willing to spare them for 10 righteous, but they were not there. Now, let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to have to hurry in this, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, if you can find it. Very quickly, 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 1 through 9. I think that's a wrong reference. I apologize to you. I believe that's the wrong reference. 2 Peter 3, 1 through 9. And we'll just pass that up. My apologies. I typed it wrong in the notes. But anyway, Lot didn't deserve to be rescued, did he? He did not deserve to be rescued. He was backslidden out of God's will, did not deserve to be rescued. But God rescued him anyway. Did he deserve it? No. Do we deserve it? No. Do we deserve it when we mess up and God forgives us? Absolutely not. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for his abounding grace. And we are recipients of that. Then Lot attempts in vain to influence his family. Verse 15, back in chapter 19, Genesis 19, verse 15. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, verse 16, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city, the Lord being merciful unto him. And so Lot was worldly and he had no spiritual influence. We see that as they're trying to get them out. And the sons-in-law had no respect for him. And two of his daughters did not. And they stayed. They didn't want to leave. Lot was worldly, had no influence over his family. What a sad thing it is to see a Christian who is backslidden, who no longer influences his family, and they don't respect him. And the community didn't respect him. His married daughters, their husbands, laughed at him. They refused to leave. When you're backslidden, you just don't have power with people. People don't respect you, and people are not going to listen to you. So Lot is delivered from Sodom by the angels, beginning in verse 15, right on through. Came to pass, verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But Lot argued with God again there a little bit, and God gave him some grace. But Lot was delivered from Sodom by the angels on this particular occasion. Then number three, Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed, verses 24 through 30. God sends, in your outline there, fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone from heaven. God is a God of love, but don't ever forget, he's a God of wrath. He's a holy, righteous God. So in verses 24 and 25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from him, behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She still had not learned her lesson, and she became a pillar of salt. They refused to do what the angels had told them to do, and especially his wife on this occasion. What had happened, they had been there in the world so long that her love for the world had really captured her emotions and her life and caused her to lose her life, Luke chapter 17, if you'll look there just a second, Luke 17, 31 and 32. This is a reminder to us in verses 31 and 32. In that city, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the fields, let him likewise not return back. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. And he reminds us in this day, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And he's talking about remembering Lot's wife. Verse 32, remember his wife. What do we have to remember about her? Well, God's judgment was coming. She looked back. He's saying, you better get ready and don't try to hang on to the world. Trust Christ as your Savior, because the judgment of God is coming on this earth. And we ought to learn from her experience that we should not become attached and part of and practicing the ways of the world and not become attached to it. Now, let's summarize very quickly. Our time is about gone. Lot's trouble did not start in Sodom. He wasn't already there, but it started at a time when he began to make wrong choices. You can see how he moved one step and another step and another step. Yard by yard, Satan says, it's hard, but inch by inch, it's a cinch. And he can move us little by little by little, and the next thing you know, we look back and we're backslidden. We're out of God's will. So he made a wrong choice, moved towards Sodom, turned his back on his earlier training, and didn't do what God told him. Obeyed the voice of greed, the voice of materialism, the voice of selfishness. Very quickly, three things about Lot's backsliding. The cause of his backsliding, and you're blank. The cause of his backsliding was greedy lust. Greedy lust. Then secondly, we see the course in the blank. The course, number two, of his backsliding. It was gradual. He looked, 13, 9, and 10. Then he chose, Genesis 13, 11. And then he moved that way, Genesis 13, 12, and 13. The course, gradual, and then it was always downward. Any step from spirituality or spiritual influence is backsliding and is downward. And it was painful. It resulted in heartbreak and suffering. And the loss of family members, all of that, because he made the wrong choices. And I've pastored all those years that I've pastored. I've seen it time and time again where a man, a woman, a couple would get out of God's will and their family would suffer and suffer and suffer. And it was very painful and many heartaches because of it. And then the cost, number three, the cost of Lot's backsliding. Cost him his friend and his uncle Abraham. And it cost him his wealth, destroyed with Sodom when they came and destroyed it. It was gone. It cost him his fellowship with God. You don't read anything about an altar being there. You just don't read about it. But with Abraham, there was always an altar being built. And then it cost him his family, his wife, and his two daughters. And so backsliding, getting away from God, getting attached to the world, all of that never pays anything but bad dividends. So learn from this story that the temporal things are not the things we should put before God. We should have the tent attitude. We're just passing through. We're going to leave it all. And we need to plan that way, store up things in heaven where rust and moth can't corrupt them, and then we can go there and reap our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't be like Lot. And understand that God looks at sin, and when God looks at sin and he says it's sin, he means it's sin, and stay away from it. Don't practice that lifestyle. And know that sin, God will judge and chasten people because of sin that they're practicing. Father, thank you for showing us this reality, what really happened here in the book of Genesis. And Lord, may we never forget it. May when we are tempted to go the ways of the world and take up their ways, so many different ways, may we say no. May we take the scripture, the girdle of truth, and pull out the sword that applies and pierce the demons who are trying to tempt us to go the wayward way before you and before Satan, and defying the rules and laws that you've set down for us. Help us to win the battle. Help us to be overcomers. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.